Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Thursday morning on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and we'll be joined by Dr. Debbie Green to talk about a subject that's on all of our minds all the time: love. Well, that is the motivation for so many of our actions, but what exactly is love? There are really only two emotions driving the human action. That is love and fear.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Grand Rising. Wherever this finds you, I hope you are feeling well today. Today, hope you are feeling well today. Absolutely. Let me join my co-host here. Okay. Good morning, beautiful. How are you?
Oh, I am fantastic, blessed by the best, as they say, and I am grateful.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have something to be blessed for because we are still alive and well.
Yes.
That is the most important thing, alive and well.
And awesome.
It's a wonderful day here. It's a little overcast here in Georgia.
Yes, rainy.
Yeah, a little rainy day in Georgia. But all is well. All is well. That is good. So today's topic is a pretty interesting topic. Welcome everyone to Soulful Solutions. My name is Debbie Green, Dr. Debbie Green, but my wonderful co-host is Naima Latifah, the producer of The Female Solution. And we're here just to bring you knowledge. I believe that the more knowledge we have, the better off we are.
Absolutely.
The more educated we are, the better we live, you know,
right.
Because if we're closed-minded, then we don't, we have these fixed minds that, oh, I don't need to know anymore. I think I have everything.
I know enough.
Well, I don't know about that.
That's what some people think,
deep,
you know.
Yeah, one should dive deep into looking for every ounce of knowledge that they can find just to put in their reservoir. Now, knowledge doesn't change you. It just makes you stronger and better.
Yes,
that's what it does. So our topic today is the agape love of God versus the love of man.
That is really a profound topic because so many people don't know what real love is. And as you said, the agape love of God, which is unconditional love.
Unconditional.
It doesn't have anything to do with what you look like or how you dress or how much money you have in the bank or any of those things that make no difference to anything at all. But human beings place a lot of emphasis on that.
Yeah.
And so when they have love relationships that don't work, they wonder why, and it's because their love was conditional. I'll love you if you do this. I'll love you if you do that. But then there's always the fear that love is going to leave because it wasn't really love in the first place, and that's why we have such challenging relationships.
That is true. That is true. So as we do this comparison, I want to definitely start off with the unconditional love of God, which is called the agape love. Agape love is the purest love of all. It's not tainted. It's not, you know, it doesn't have regulations. It doesn't have laws. And I think, you know, in the religious point of view, a lot of people, you know, think that, oh, if I go to church or if I do some greater good for mankind or especially religious sectors, if I do this, then I am, you know, satisfying our Creator, satisfying God. If I show up in this area, in this being, in this church, in this brick and mortar, that I have the love of God. But I want to really examine that area, if I may, because I know two things that people don't agree on is religion and politics. Okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what I want to do is take the religion out of it completely at this point. So if there wasn't a church, if there wasn't a way to serve the Almighty God, you know, far as what man said, okay, if you never knew anything and you were just told you have a creator, someone that created you, and it's not about just your mother or your mother's mother or their mother's mother, go on, right? Okay, so, you know, what was the major purpose of life in the first place? Now, remember, we're talking about the agape love. The agape love is the purest love of all between man and his creator. That's it. All of the other parts and pieces that we experience as human beings on this earth, you know, were created how to love and be faithful and be obedient to God according to what they said. Now, we can go through the Holy Scriptures, which is the 66 canons. That's what they're called, the 466 books, and then even goes beyond the 66 books. Because my doctrine, or doctorate, is in divinity, so I did a lot of studying, and I mean, I'm still studying to show myself approved. So I went out of the 66 books, and I wanted to find out, who is God? Who is he really? Who is he? And we refer to him as a he, according to, if you believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because they said the Father, the Father. So it was referred as a male. It refers as a male. But to be honest with you, that's how we, our perception of him, because it's according to, again, the 66 books is relative to God as, in the New Testament, as a male figure. But before the New Testament, it was no gender. Okay, let's go back there. No gender, right? Okay, there's no gender that's creating this orifice of nothing but divine love for his creation. Divine love, unconditional. You didn't have to get it wrong, whatever you did, whatever, because he's omnipotent, omnipresent God. That's how we refer to our Creator, right? Because he's all-knowing, all right? So he didn't put a stipulation on his love. Well, y'all better come on with this. But see, this is so profound because I want you to understand, and this is just from Dr. Dab's point of view now. Let me tell you something. Whatever views you get on this show is specifically according to me. Just me. I'm not making any rules for anybody. Whatever you do with your life is what you do with your life. I'm just giving you the factual from where I stand or what I've been
life
studying.
Life according to Dr. Dib.
That's it. That's it, right? But I want you to understand that there's no, what's the word? There's no conditions with that. You know, we love God, and he loves us just as we are. He's not a God of damnation. He doesn't condemn you. He doesn't make you feel belittled if you make a mistake. He doesn't, if you self-destruct in some way or hurt or implied or disappointed or, I mean, all of the things that people go through in life. Become envious, jealous, betrayal, murder, deceit. Well, hey, ding dong, look in the Bible. You'll see all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, before and after Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that tell you? That the love of God supersedes everything. It's everything. You can't do anything for him not to love you, first of all, because it's a puring out. A pouring out, over zealous giving of love. Because he knew that. He knew we would create stipulations for each other. You know?
That's what we do.
Oh, if you love me the way I want to be loved, then I will love you back.
Yes.
And if I give you all of my love and you don't give me any, then I'm going to feel some type of way.
Yeah.
I'm going to get upset.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you give your love to someone else when you need to be giving it to me.
I own your love.
That's it.
My exclusive possession.
Okay. Love is free, y'all. It's truly free. So whatever stipulations or regulations or laws or ideals, I can go on and on with that you put on it, take it off. Take the captivity off of it, and you will see the purest love. And you know the greatest love that's inside of us is inside of us. It's inside of you. It's inside of me.
That's the greatest love.
The love I have for anyone. The love I have for myself. Because if I have not loved myself, I have not loved nothing.
That's right.
So our you know, the agape love is the purest, unconditional love of God. Of your creator, if you believe in God, your higher power, your source, all right? Your energy had to come from somewhere. It did not develop in some type of lab, some kind of place.
Even if you were a test tube baby.
Okay? It came from creation to creation to creation. You were not even seen with the naked eye. But you were there in your mother's womb. Is that not miraculous? Do you think man could have done that? You think some scientific Yaya could have created that?
Mm.
Well, I think you need to know that this way more powerful force in the universe, something created something. Something created Mars, Jupiter, Saturn. Something, it just didn't fly up in the air, okay? It's just not hovering in space. Something put it there. Intentionally, purposely. Just like something put you here. So if you are struggling with your purpose, know that you were created for something wonderful, period. Now, searching for that thing may take a little while. You know, sometimes it takes a lifetime to search for the truest love inside of us because we're so busy looking on the outside.
Yeah.
Where's the love? Where's the love? Where is the love? Where, if we looked on the outside right now, not even, we don't see much love, do we?
No, we don't.
We see self-destruction. If I self-destruct, then it's a good chance I'm going to self-destruct on someone else. I'm going to, because my life is connected to yours. Doesn't matter what race we are. Doesn't matter what creed, color. It doesn't matter. We are connected on this earth. We are all living on this earth. And our divine one sees all. And he, I believe, deep down in the most office or connection of things, that it mourns. The Creator mourns because of what he sees.
Mm.
He said, you know, I created you to love each other, to be friends, to be family. And therefore, you put stipulations on the love that I created for you, which then damaged, corrupted, decayed the love that I gave you from the beginning. Mm. So the peace that once surpasses all understanding is no longer peace. No longer peace. It wraps itself around these disfigured thoughts and images of what is considered conditions. You know, we go through so much in life. We have our highest mountains to our deepest valleys of things. But again, where is the love of God? It has it diminished?
Where is the love
that you promised me? You know, I'm telling you. And, you know, when I talk about love, y'all, I get so teary-eyed. I swear I do. I get teary-eyed not even when I talk about love.
Because it touches the heart, touches the soul, touches the depth of who you are. But just think of all the people who have never experienced love. And that's what's sad, when they have not felt what it feels like. And unfortunately, that's what we're seeing, the expressions of pain by those who have not experienced love. If we want them to heal from the hurt, the answer is not to give them more pain. The answer is to give them love. And that's what we're not understanding as a human family. When we see people committing acts of destruction of themselves and others, and we think, oh, how dare they hurt people? Well, let's hurt them some more. What is the saying? Hurt people, hurt people. Why are they hurt? Because they were not loved. They don't know what it feels like. And so they're acting out of their pain. If we want them to experience love and project love, then we must give them what they're missing, which is love.
Absolutely. And that's the hardest thing for, you know, people to do, is love unconditional.
Because we think vengeance. I'm going to give you the pain that you've given others. I'm going to punish you for what you did to me or didn't do to me. If you disappointed me, I'm going to withdraw my love from you. And as you said, that's not God's love. That's not the unconditional agape love from the Creator that loves you no matter what, because that is the state of being of the Creator. It is the power of love. But we want to make God in our image instead of us being in God's image, which is love. We want to make God as mean-spirited, unforgiving, angry, resentful and hurtful as we are, because we don't know how to forgive. We don't understand. And so we cause pain. And then we say, well, this is how God is. And this is how we will interpret every revealed information that God gives us. We bend it to fit our human perspective of life. And so that's why even when master teachers come among us and demonstrate what love looks like,
mm-hmm.
we still can't get it.
Right, right, right. And I believe that every sector of, you know, even religious, you know, expressions have a, you know, a ideal of what God is to them. We talk about the Christianity of what God is, Judaism, Buddhism, Islam, you know, and the list goes on. You know, it's almost like slices of a pie. You know, that's just like, okay, my God is served this way and your God is served that way and this and that. But in the whole scope of things, all he wants is for us to love each other.
Yes.
We go right back.
And that's it. You know, all these separations are unnecessary. They don't matter. They don't make any sense because, in truth, God needs nothing at all.
Nothing.
It is
nothing.
We, the human beings, who need. So it is we who are supposed to be giving and sharing and loving each other, because God does not need anything at all and definitely doesn't have an ego to be resentful or jealous. Human beings have an ego because human beings have insecurities, because human beings don't understand who they are as an expression of the Creator. So human beings think that there's a hierarchy. Well, I'm better than you, and they're not as good as us, and God loves us and doesn't love them. Human beings create that thought that isn't reality, but we put that thought on God. Well, you know, we're the ones that God loves, and we're the ones that are going to be rewarded, and they're going to be going to hell because God doesn't like them. And that is not the Creator of the universe.
No.
That is not the petty mind that is in side of human beings. And it's hard for people to let that go because they want to believe that they're better than someone. They want to believe that love has to be conditional, and some people get more love than others and that makes them better. They want to believe that, and so they project that onto the idea of God, and they project that in the teachings about God. And so we keep recreating this broken human being who doesn't know how to love because they have not accepted the agape, unconditional love of God as their own way of being.
Exactly. And, you know, we don't have to agree with what everybody is saying. That's not what true love is. It's like to accept.
Yeah, accept them for as they are. Just love them anyway. Yeah.
And that way you don't get hurt, because then you get into this tainted area of love where you would get your feelings hurt, you get irritated, frustrated, angry, because you're not getting the type of attention you want. And so, you know, this power of love, you know, everyone wants to harness it. They want to hold on to it. They want to go, oh, no, I have the power of love. You don't have the power of love. You know, but, you know, love has a power, but it is unharnessable. I'm about to create a word. You can't harness love like that. Love
right.
is an expression. It is
right.
is a growing thing. It's way wider than we can mentally perceive as human beings.
Yes.
We don't even have a clue of what unconditional love is.
Because, you know, the reason why is because we're raised by parents who loved us conditionally. You know, I'll love you if you obey me. I'll love you if you don't spill your milk. I'll love you if you don't cry. I'll love you if you take a nap when I tell you to. I'll love you if you put on the clothes the way I told you to. I'll love you if you get good grades. I'll love you if you don't ask me any questions. So all of our love has been conditional, and so we don't know what it feels like to be loved just because we exist, no matter how we look, no matter how we smell, you know. We don't know what that feels like because we're always in fear that we're going to lose our love because that's how our parents raised us because that's all they knew. So
yeah.
Because we fear losing the love of our parents, we fear that we can lose the love of God. And people are believing I'm supposed to fear God. God is going to hurt me and punish me and throw me into a lake of fire if I guess the wrong religion or if I make a mistake in life, if I get a divorce, if I have sex and I'm not married to the person I'm having sex with, if I have a child from that relationship, if I lose my job, you know, whatever people believe is just the worst thing that makes them the worst person, they're believing God will stop loving them. And so they're always living in fear. And fear and love are the two emotions that motivate our actions. And most of the worst actions are motivated by fear.
Exactly.
What causes theft? Fear that people will not share. Fear that you're not going to have what you need. Fear that people are going to look down on you for not having things. Fear is the motivation for crime. Fear. Fear that you will not be loved. That is the motivation for crime.
Yes.
So if someone acts out of fear and they steal because they fear that people don't love them enough to share, people don't love them enough to accept them for not having what others have, if that's the motivation, and then we say, well, we're going to lock you up and treat you badly. We're going to take you away from your family, people who do love you. We're going to take you away from them, and we're going to put you in a place where you're constantly talked to badly, treated badly, always have to be in fear of your personal safety. We're going to put you there because you did something bad.
Yeah.
And how is that going to heal the fear in them? It just compounds it. Now I really know people aren't going to be loving. Now I really know people aren't going to share. Now I really know people aren't going to give me what I need. Now I really know people are going to look down on me. You're putting me in a place where I'm getting the worst treatment, which is the worst thing that I feared in the first place, which motivated me to do the thing I did. So is it healing people? No, it's making them worse. When the real answer was love in the first place.
Well, absolutely. You know, there's different facets of, again, you know, it's an ongoing thing, and I'm sure it's going to be here to the last smidgen area of this universe, of this earth, you know, the misunderstanding of what love is.
Until we learn.
You know, until we learn.
Until those who know can demonstrate it enough so other people can see what it looks like.
Right, right. And I mean, it's like I said, love is, a man doesn't understand love, even between a man and a woman, you know. So the love of God we know as it is, like I said, it's personal. It's personal, it's ultimate, and it's unconditional. And if we can even get a smidgen of understanding that type of love and use it, but most of all apply it to our lives to another human being, then the world will be a better place because, again, it would save so much damage over a period of time. The damage that is experienced when we don't apply that is when things start to change, and that's, we go back to man's love. Man's love is it's not unconditional. It is conditional. And when there are conditions, there will be trauma.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There will always be trauma. Because laws, I mean, we have laws on the land. That's one thing. But laws in life, you know, that's a whole other situation. Laws in life, when we put laws in our children's minds, when we put laws in our marriages, when we put laws, all of these things, you know, causes other things to happen, the domino effects. And the first one I want to tackle is the love between, you know, families.
Mm.
The love between family. the love between family, as I believe the Creator created to be, one will accept one another as for who they are.
Yes.
And help one another to be better and stronger. Yes. That's it. Period.
That's it.
So when that does not happen and has not been happening, here it comes, the anger, the resentment, the discord, the jealousy, the envy, the betrayal, which is the first thing, to be honest with you, we're just replicas of the Garden of Eden. That's when the love of God first initialized to get distorted. So if you know anything about the Garden of Eden between Adam and Eve and the great serpent, at that point, that's when betrayal of the love came, anger, jealousy, guilt, shame, remorse. Okay, guess what? Every human being is living some of that right now, by the way. So what does it do to the love? It taints the love. That's what it does. Taints means changes it, metamorphosizes it in something that it is not.
Absolutely.
So we lost our way, people. We lost our way. When you lose the unconditional power of love, you've lost something deep down inside yourself.
Oh, absolutely. We have to find our way back to love.
So we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and examine that love compared to the Garden of Eden and what is happening in our modern time.
And if you all are on our switchboard now, feel free to press 1 to add your thoughts or ask a question of Dr. Debbie Green. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just a moment. So stay with us. Oh, come on. Don't be stall here. Come on. Come on.
They're stalling.
Yes. All right, let's try another one since you don't want to act right.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
I'm Viata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viata.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Welcome back to Soulful Solutions. My name is Dr. Debbie Green with my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, our executive producer of the Female Solution. And our topic today, for those who are just joining us, is the agape love of God versus love of man. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's no real comparison because it's on two different levels, dimensions. But before we actually went to break, I wanted to address the love and how it got tainted in the first place. Now, again, you know, this is my perception on things. Some people agree, some people may not agree. And that's okay. You are entitled to that. But I believe, just from my studies, that everything that we see right now happened in the Garden of Eden. It even happened on the exile of the Garden of Eden. So let's just take Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve was actually a creation of God that was created out of love. Love for one another and love for God. And what happened was, let's say for the understanding, fear entered the garden. Fear entered the garden, and when fear entered the garden, it brought a separation between woman and man. And we thought it was just about the apple, huh? It brought a separation between man and woman. And fear is known as another word of sin. Sin is anything that destroys, interrupts, stops the love of God in your life, my life. Anything. That's what it is. That's what sin really is. You know, it is not some type of just action or behavior. It is something way more than that because it separates man from his creator. Okay, fast forward. Here we go. So they're in the garden, walking around, being at peace, totally. Without any care in the world. So here comes fear. Fear then actually convinces them or persuades them, beguiles them to look at life or love in a different way. Okay, love was given purely to Adam and Eve. That's it, just purely. It didn't have laws, it didn't have regulations, but then fear put regulations, interrupted it with laws. Well, if you do this, you'll get that. Mm. If you don't do this, you won't get that. So it compared man's love to God's love right there in the garden. And according to scripture, what does Eve do, which is the female character? She knows no better because the law wasn't given to her in the first place, so we can't blame our great-great-grandmama. Okay, the law wasn't given to her, it was given to man. It was given to the male character, right? Okay, so she tries this thing called fear. and realizes that she then sees something or feels something that is human. Human. So she went from the spiritual divine being to a human.
That's what fear does.
Now that's a problem, y'all. That's a big problem because God didn't design us to just be human. We're supposed to be spiritual beings having a physical expression of ourselves through a fleshly thing in a natural orifice called earth. Okay, but we're still spiritual beings, by the way, okay? But something went wrong in the garden. Something went terribly wrong. Oh, of course God just watched. He knows. He's all-knowing. He wanted to see what the law was going to be carried out. He said, this love I gave you, Adam. I gave this love to you. So what are you going to do with that love? I've given you everything. I gave you all authority and dominion over everything that creeping and crawling over the earth. So here we go. No, they wanted to try fear. Fear is the one that opens their eyes to being human. Oh, my goodness. Oh, what is this feeling I'm feeling? I feel shame. I feel guilt. I feel fear. So then that's when the love of God then transmuted into something else in them. And here we go. From that time, from that very moment, everything changed in human existence. Everything from even their seeds, if you continue to follow the story, Cain and Abel, that same fear then went into one of those children of Adam and Eve. And what caused effect? The way the love was supposed to be between brothers? Evil.
I'm fearing that you are going to be favored over me.
And which is, exactly. So
I'm fearing I'm not going to be loved like you are.
So my fear creates anger
at the thought that I'm not going to be loved. So if I get rid of you, then that will solve my problem of my fear.
And it never did. It just started something so horrific in the eyes of man. Because it was a continuance. It was continuous of the brokenness that was in the garden and the brokenness that's between the brothers. And it continues. That fear then surmounts all things. And then God said to Cain, he said, no, you will never die. You will never taste death. He said, sin is at your door. You have to master it. And what he meant by that was, fear is always forever present to destroy the love of God.
And you must master it.
And you must master it. So here we go. We are then continually going through this process of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So now, man still does the same thing, compares love to what it isn't. Between a man and a woman, you know, then it gets distorted, then it creates a child, and then it creates all of these conditions on how the child should be raised. But first of all, the man and the woman is still experiencing the fear of love.
Conditional love, which is not love.
So what is it going to do? It's going to produce another fear of love. It continues on and on and on and on. That is the reason why I believe that the family system is broken down because of the love is tainted, and
right.
They have no understanding of love between another human being, two human beings. It's supposed to be unconditional.
Absolutely.
If you choose not to love me the way you are, is, or the way I am, I have a choice. In the matter, I could, you know, if I go back to the old way of thinking, because again, that is in the data bank of my mind, because it's in the data bank of every human's mind, of how to love another human being. Now, there's a very few of us on this earth that knows that we're supposed to love unconditionally.
Right.
Very few. It's not, if you got billions of people on this earth, very few understand the power of love.
Because they haven't
love
been taught.
Unconditional.
They have not been taught. They've been taught that love is conditional. They've been taught that love is a weapon that you use to get people to do what you want them to do, instead of it being something you give freely and unconditionally, because that's how it was presented to them. Love is something I give you to make you do what I want you to do. If you don't do what I want you to do, I withdraw my love. That is how most people were parented. So that's the only way they understand what love is, and that's what they give to others. The conditional love, which isn't really love, it is manipulation. It is judgment. It creates fear because the other person's always fearing they're going to lose your love. And
right.
That's why if you fear something, you can't trust it. What is fear? False evidence appearing real. So the appearance that love can be lost creates the distrust between people who are always worried that the other person will not love them the way they want to be loved or the way they're giving love. They're always afraid they're going to not get it back. So we see that in couples today. Anger over you didn't love me the way I think you should have loved me. You didn't do what I wanted you to do, so I'm not going to love you. And therefore, the withdrawal of love creates anger. And then we see what you experience all the time, people who were loving couples somehow becoming violent and hurting each other. How can that possibly emanate from love if it was truly the love of God, the unconditional love that is non-judgmental and requires nothing, because God does not require anything from us at all. God doesn't need us to worship. God doesn't need us to believe anything. God doesn't need anything from us at all. God doesn't need. And when you love unconditionally, you don't need, because your unconditional love is also for yourself. So you don't need people to validate your worth with their love, because you already love yourself. Mm-hmm. And when you can really love yourself unconditionally, then you can share that unconditional love with someone else. But if your love for yourself is conditional, then that's why you will believe that other people's love is conditional as well. If I'm not pretty enough, they won't love me. If I'm not smart enough, they won't love me. If I don't have enough money, they won't love me. If I don't live in the right kind of house, they won't love me. If I don't have the right kind of career, they won't love me. If I don't wear the right clothes, they won't love me. If I don't have the right beliefs, they won't love me. So therefore, I can only get love if I earn it, if I'm worthy of it. And I'm always afraid I'm not worthy, because I'm believing that about myself, that I'm not worthy.
Well, and that's a form of fear that was created before man was even cast down out of Eden. It was feeling unworthy. See, it all goes back to those same areas, you know, and we go through these interchanges in our mind as human beings from childhood to adulthood. You know, we go through this, and we constantly, some people, you know, like I said, love is a multifaceted thing. And it actually, you know, it heals a multitude of sin, because it does. You know, once it's in its proper form, because love is charity, it is hope, it is faith, you know, it's an expression, you know, of tangible gifts, non-tangible gifts. It's more than what we even imagine it to be. But again, the first love is the purest love, which is the love of God, and the next love is the love of yourself. When you put stipulations and laws on your being, I can only love myself because so-and-so and so, because someone else loves me. Or I can only accept myself when I am doing this or when I do that. I cannot accept my mistakes. I cannot accept my faults. I cannot accept my weaknesses. Okay, but that means you don't love me. We all have all of these things that we are expressions of. You know, C.L. Lewis wrote this wonderful book back in the 1960s. It's called The Four Loves. Mm. And if you've never read anything that describes love so elegantly and so, I would say, descriptively, you may want to definitely online.
If you can, you want, you can actually write it in the description to put it on the screen.
Yes.
C.S. Lewis.
Absolutely.
L-E-W-I-S.
Okay. L-E-W-I-S. Yes, C.S. Lewis. It was written back in the 1960s, The Four Loves, and it's how love is described, how love is looked at, and there's a part of this I would love to just read, and as he puts it so elegantly. The Four Loves explores the possibilities and the painful problems of the love between parents and children, the love of men for men and women for women, of men and women for each other, and the love of God, which may enrich all love. There is tenderness and brilliance in this sensitive but nonetheless relentless pursuit of understanding of love's vulnerability. Lewis explores the problems of sex, possessiveness, jealousy, pride, false sentimentality, good and bad manners in loving, into the intimate, formal, courteous, and intimate moments that faces us in public spaces and private places, of the need for more laughter, play, and less solemn techniques between lovers and themselves. It's a very interesting read. Because, again, one will love someone and hate them at the same time. And we heard this so many times. There's a thin line between love and hate, because there is. That's how love can be distinguished and also discouraged, you know, at the same time. So we're going to go to man's love at this point, because we know God's love is the purest love of all. So what happened in the Garden of Eden that then transferred us into these conditional human beings of love, and then taking love to a whole nother understanding where it then becomes something that we are not? We are not.
Something that
we are not. Do you know the difference between the truest love and the false love? Because there is a difference. The false love only creates falsified things that are based on false evidence appearing real, which is the word called fear. I fear you because I fear loving you. I fear loving you. If I don't love you the way you want me to love you, and if you're not satisfied with that love, then your love turns into some type of disruptive thing. And I could possibly lose my existence even in life. Now, your love is dangerous. We call that obsession. We call that then when the love becomes controllable into another human being's life. We call it pride and narcissism. When the love becomes manipulative, emotionally burdened, we call that deception. It goes on and on and on. Again, it was created from the Garden of Eden. We didn't know about this, y'all.
We didn't experience this.
So it came down the bloodline. Okay, so now that we know these things, affection and ultimate love, how do we express the ultimate love to another human being? How should we treat that person? And please remember, this has to be consistent. I can't just sometimes love you.
Yes.
I can't just sometimes accept you for who you are.
It has to be all the time.
It has to be all the time.
And that
takes
practice.
But what in the human character, in the human personality, in the human heart, that interrupts that love? It's the fear of not being accepted
fear.
For who you are.
Fear. Always fear. Fear is the opposite of love. So fear disrupts love. Fear distorts love. And how many relationships are based on fear? Fear of non-acceptance. Fear of rejection. Fear that someone isn't going to treat you the way you would like to be treated. And so we believe that if I'm kind to you and you're rude to me and I'm still kind to you, then that somehow means I wasn't worthy of good treatment because I'm letting you be unkind. That's the mistaken thought. Whereas however I treat you, I'm defining myself. If I'm defining myself as a kind person, then that's who I am, regardless of who you are, regardless of what you are, regardless of how you behave. I am a kind person all the time. If that's how I define myself, then that's what I'm going to be. But if I'm defining myself as I need to prove that I'm worthy of kindness, and if you're unkind to me, well, then I need to be unkind to you to show that I'm not going to let you treat me that way, well, then I really don't believe that I'm a kind person because I'm believing that I have to prove it, or I have to make someone demonstrate it in order for me to accept it. So that means I don't really believe that about myself. If I have to respond to someone with anything other than what I say I am, then that's not what I really believe I am.
Right.
So
right.
If we can understand that, and as you said, the first thing is love of self. If I love myself, then I don't have to prove I'm worthy of love by making you love me or making you treat me a certain way or treating you badly as a retaliation of you not treating me with love. If I love myself, I don't need you to do anything at all. I'm self-contained in who I am. That's the love of God because that's how God is. God doesn't need you to love God in order for you to get love. If we want to reflect the love of God, then we have to be the love of God. We have to be as God is. We have to love unconditionally. And it doesn't matter what someone else is, what their state of mind is, what their understanding is, what their belief is. It doesn't matter. We're loving them because we are a loving person. If that is what we truly believe about ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is the truest image of God. The image is not an image on a photograph. It is the image of the consciousness and the subconscious of what the replica of God is, which is love.
It's a state of being.
And it is it's so misunderstood. It's just people love, and they love the way it's within their capacity to love. One must think that, oh, you don't love me because you don't love me the way I love you. But how can somebody love you through your eyes? They can't. They can't love you through your eyes. So a lot of times we may give all ourselves to another human being, and then we find out, I was giving you 100%, and now you're only giving me 30. Well, maybe that's all they can give you. Maybe they don't have no other way of giving you how can they give you something that they don't have?
Absolutely.
And I'm not making excuses. And you have to say, oh, yes, they could do more. They could do more for me. Okay, then love gets selfish.
Yes.
It draws from another well of life. So we have to be careful what well we're drawing from when it comes to love.
Absolutely.
Are we drawing from the unconditional part? Are we drawing from the conditional part of love? One cannot occupy the same space. Either you're going to choose one or the other.
Mm.
Only one or the other. There's no way you're going to go back and forth because then love then is going to choose for you.
Mm.
And when love chooses for you, love is permanent, by the way.
That's right.
It doesn't, it's very consistent. So if it says, if love, the power of love says, okay, look at this man, woman, or child. And this is the only way you look at me, it's going to be a permanent stamp in your mind. If this is the only way you see me, I'm just going to continue to create the same things over and over again. Mm. So we're going to look at that a little more deeper when we come back.
All right. We'll be right back after this break. And we want you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. So stay with us.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Come on.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Gift G-I-F-T-E-D. Gift love, because according to the Christian philosophy, God, he first loved man, okay? So he gave his only begotten son. He loved man so much that he gave all of himself to man. And that was the love of God. That was the supernatural forces of the Lord of God to save man from his damnation or from sin, from nature, to give us another opportunity to experience this thing called life. And then there's the need love, N-E-E-D, the need love. I need love from you. You need love from me. I need love from my family. I need love from my friends. I need love from the universe. I need love in society. So I must do things in order to get the love from my family. If I love them, I must take care of them. I must be responsible. I must be obligated to them. So that's the difference. And that need love then comes with the stipulations, the rules, the regulations. Because then it comes with, like I said, the understanding of I must do something to express my love to you. And in society, that is looked at like a child doesn't have any idea what a need love is when it's in the womb. Only when it comes out the womb, then it has a need love. That love, oh, I need my mother. I long to have her touch me. I need my father. I need the love of my parents. So when I'm a little child, I'm doing things to gain that love. And that doesn't stop there. Even when you're adolescent, you're still looking to satisfy that need to get the love that you truly wanted. I personally believe that man has been looking for love in all the wrong places ever since he's been born. I don't believe that none of us on this earth has experienced truest love of all. I think the love that we have been experiencing are based on certain concepts and expressions of what love may or may not be. So it still makes us wonder, you know, so we get comfortable in whatever is perceived as love. So now the need then becomes what? A rule. A rule that we follow. Again, we were taught codependency from children. I love you, so I want you to do this and do that because I love you. You must do this and do that because I love you. So now, again, it is conditional.
Yes. It's obligation.
This happened. Let's think about that. If we grew up without someone saying that I love you, so you must do this and do that, how if love was just given?
Yeah. Whether you did anything
how
or not.
How would we be different?
Yes. So the idea that love has to be earned or deserved, it affects so much of our treatment of each other and even our fears that we might lose love. Just think of all the people who commit suicide because something happened. Maybe they've lost their job. They've lost all their money. Maybe they've lost their looks. Maybe they have made what they believe would be a terrible mistake that no one would forgive them for. And so rather than face the feeling of losing love, they'd rather die. And they believe that death ends everything. They believe that death is the end of their conscious being, and they will just dissolve into nothingness. And so they commit an act of suicide. But suicide comes out of fear of losing love. And the pain that you're anticipating feeling at the absence of love, at the rejection of those who you depend on to love you. So the thought of that is so painful, people choose to end their lives. How sad is that?
It's extremely sad because, again, we go back to the stipulations.
Yes.
If I'm not accepted, if I don't feel belonged, then I should not accept myself or don't feel belonged to me.
Right.
Right. Then what good am I?
What good am I?
Then I throw myself away.
I throw myself away. That's what happens.
Man doesn't throw me away. God doesn't throw me away.
I throw myself away.
To throw myself away like I'm nothing.
Yeah.
So I intentionally remove myself from just experiencing
right.
the things on life.
I'm believing I'm removing myself from existence. And
it's just the natural existence, because the spiritual existence is going to go on.
Yes.
You don't go poof. There's no such thing
right.
as that.
You
leave this earth. That's all you do. You leave this earth, but you're still in a, your energy is still there. The soul doesn't, it doesn't go away. The energy just doesn't dissipate.
The consciousness of who you are.
As I always say, because I face this commonly because of where I am, what my career is. I deal with people with depression that come to a point in life where they no longer want to live because they are in that place of love tainted.
Yes.
So the love of their own being is disappeared.
Yes.
If I love myself, I would never destroy myself in any type of way.
Right.
If the pain becomes so deep, that's only saying that I put myself there.
Yes.
I put myself there to think that all is lost, but nothing is ever lost. Everything is forever found.
Yes.
It's just that we have to make that decision to look at another perception, you know what I'm saying? Because I call it a suicidal sacrifice of not being loved, of not being accepted, of not being good enough. Because something invaded your being to the point where you wanted to throw yourself away. You felt you were nothing. You were not worthy of life itself. So what happened to the love then?
Where is the love? Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You said the love can dissipate.
Yes.
Because it can dissipate only when we make a choice, though.
Yes.
But let's look at the other side. That's the grim side, right?
But when you do experience unconditional love.
But it's real. It's real today.
Love
suicide is the top 10.
Yes.
In death.
That is it. The fear of loss of love is what prompts suicide. But that means that the person didn't really experience real love, because love is eternal. Real love is eternal. It never goes away. It never is withdrawn. It never is denied. It exists. It is the energy of creation. It is the creator. So when you have God's love, then you will never feel despair and feel that you could be unloved. You would never get to the point where you take your own life or try to end your existence, because you have the greatest love of all inside of you, and that is the
absolutely
love of God. That's what people need when they get to that point where they're ready to check out of here because someone didn't love them, or they fear someone's not going to love them anymore. How many suicides do you see after someone's gone through a divorce, or someone's lost a lifelong career, or someone has had injury to their body, which perhaps removes what they feel is their physical attractiveness? These things that people feel like will cause them to lose love. They feel despair, and they feel like, my life is over. I have no reason to live. No one's going to love me. People don't love me. My loved one isn't going to love me anymore. I lost my loved one. I lost the love of my loved one. And so they don't see a reason to live because they're believing that love can be lost. And true love is never lost, because true love, the purest love, is the love of God, and it's with you always. But you have to find it and discover it and live with it and manifest it and be it and experience it and always be in the state of it, so that it never leaves you, no matter what other people do or say or think or cause you to experience, love is always with you and always a part of you and cannot change. So when you have found that, nothing can end it and nothing can push you to destroy your own existence. No one can do that, even if they disappoint you, even if they decide they don't want to be around you anymore, even if your spouse or your children turn away from you. They can't make you feel unloved once you have the love of God. And that's what people are missing when they're ready to end their lives. They have not experienced that unconditional love that never leaves you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's a most profound thing. Again, we put so much idols, our emphasis on something else to give us the love, when really and truly the love is free. It's not from anything on the outside of us. It is all on the inside of us. When one puts love in a place where, again, it's conditional, in another person's court, which is, I love you so much to the point where if you don't love me, then I can no longer go on in life.
Right, which means I can't love me either. If you don't love me, I can't love me either.
And then it takes a turn. That turn, that love then grows into a love-hate. Mm. And then that love-hate picks up a gun.
Mm.
And then that love-hate kills everything around it.
Mm.
Now that love turns into some distorted thing. At the beginning, it was something pure.
Then it got twisted.
Fear changes love, y'all.
Fear changes love.
Again, it's the same thing in the Garden of Eden. Fear changed the love.
Absolutely.
That we experienced.
Absolutely. You know, I've been reading a book series which is so profound, and many of you may have heard of Neil Donald Walsh and his book series called Conversations with God.
Mm.
It's the most profound book series I have ever read, and if I could buy a copy for every human being on earth, I would do that, just to undo the misconceptions, the mistaken beliefs we're carrying about God, because we're believing that God's love is conditional. We're believing that God will punish us if we're less than perfect, or if we make a mistake, or if we do something that society says is bad. We're believing, and people will live their lives in fear of death because they're fearing that once they meet God, they'll be condemned and cast down and ridiculed and castigated. Mm-hmm. They're believing that. So sometimes people are afraid to pray because they think God is mad at them. Oh, wow, I had a baby at 16. God's mad at me. He won't talk to me. I can't pray. He don't like me anymore. People are believing that in their souls. So you don't turn to the one source of love that could restore a broken heart because you believe that source loves you conditionally and you didn't meet the conditions. You're believing that. So once you understand that that belief is incorrect and the love is free and you don't have to earn it, you don't have to have a certain income, you don't have to be of a certain race, you don't have to be a certain gender, you don't have to be a certain size or weight or live in a certain part of town, you don't have to speak a certain language, you don't have to do any of those things. The fact that you exist,
yes,
you are loved. You are loved because you were created by the energy of love, by the Creator. You will always be loved no matter what you experience in life. There's nothing you can do to turn off the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what heals you from whatever disappointment you have. But as long as you're believing you're supposed to fear God because God might not like you if you make a mistake, then you're never going to be able to receive the love that's there for free. And you'll never understand your worth. So this is one of the most profound book series. Neil Donald Walsh, and his name is spelled N-E-A-L-E. Donald, of course, D-O-N-A-L-D, Walsh, W-A-L, S-C-H. Neil Donald Walsh. One of the most profound book series, Conversations with God, which, of course, came about when he was at his lowest point. He had lost everything, you know, homeless, lost his car, had been in an accident, marriage crumbled, you know, lost everything, and was just crying out to God, why is my life such a mess? What are the rules here? How come I can't make my life work? God just started talking to him. You know, he picked up a pad and pen and started writing down what he was told. And next thing you know, he developed into book one, Conversations with God. Then book two, Conversations with God. Then book three, Conversations with God. Now, you know, latest book, Conversations with God. A whole series of books translated into 37 languages all across the world.
Beautiful.
Made a
beautiful,
profound impact on the consciousness of humanity, but more people need to understand that God's love can never be lost, and you can never be unloved by God. They need to know this, regardless of what your religions may teach, because religions end up being reflections, as you've said, of our misshapen understanding, and we end up teaching fear instead of love, and that's what separates us from the consciousness of the love of God. Being aware that it's there. It never leaves, but sometimes we're unaware that it's there. And when we're unaware of it, we can't experience it and we can't benefit from it. So we have to return to God. And the best way is to just talk to God yourself. You know, people always feel like, well, I need to go through somebody. Well, I'm not holy enough. Well, I didn't go to school and get a degree or you know, I don't have a Bible, or I don't have a Quran. I can't speak in Arabic, you know, because the Bible, the Quran is written in Arabic for those who are Muslims. So if you're not Arabic, you think, well, I can't talk to God so I can speak Arabic. It's, you know, the language that you speak to God is from your soul. It's not even spoken language. It's from your soul. If you say nothing, you can speak to God because it's soul to soul. It's soul to the great soul, the great spirit, the great I am. You don't need anything. Just speak from your heart. This is how this man came up with a whole book series, Conversations with God. He just spoke. And all of us have the power to do that. You don't have to memorize any prayers or any certain words or have a certain vocabulary or speak in these and thous. And all. You don't have to do none of that. Just ask, God, tell me something. I don't understand what's going on. And then be quiet and listen.
You have to be quiet.
And then you'll hear.
You definitely have to be quiet and listen.
And everybody. Yes. And in this book, Conversations with God, God says to Neil Donald Walsh, I'll talk to everybody. Question is, who's listening? But I talk to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we need to
know. That's a great read. I'm definitely going to, I've heard about that before.
Yeah, I'm looking at him. If I can't have him on our shows, maybe I'll be able to share one of his videos. I'm hoping at some point his schedule will permit him to actually be a guest on one of our shows. But if not, barring that, we will certainly share some of his video interviews because I think it's the most profound conversation that every human being needs to read and understand and correct that belief that they're not worthy of the love of God, because that's what most people are feeling, because that's what they've been taught. You're not worthy.
Right. Yeah. They've been taught a lot of different things and exposed to a lot of perceptions of love. And again, but as we grow and as we expand, you have to develop it for yourself. Despite what your parents said, did, or whoever, you know, your influencer was, you have to discover it for yourself and gain your peace of mind when it comes to love, and get comfortable with the power of love for you. When you lose the power of love, you lose your ability to thrive, you know, because love is the power of life. You cannot have it. It's you cannot create it. You cannot, you know, survive without some form of love, you know, and it has to be love that, again, is that's acceptable. I'm not looking at the love. I'm not talking about the love that's conditional. I'm talking about the love that's accepted, that you feel belongs within yourself.
Yeah.
That's the first, self-love is the greatest love of all. And you know that song, you know, the greatest love of all is happening inside of me.
Yes.
Learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all.
Yes.
Because that's what the Creator created you for.
Yes.
He created you to love yourself, not just to love another human being, not just to be a family, be a sister, a brother, a husband, a wife, or someone to another human being, but created you for you. The combination of the involving or the meshing between you and God requires that you love yourself, because He's forever resting inside of you. The Creator gave you the breath of life, and when you don't value that breath of life, every exhale, every inhale is very vital to you. And when you value it, you will never, ever, ever allow anyone at any given time, not even yourself, to put it in harm's way. You won't ever do that. You will always look at life from a platform, what am I doing to me? How am I accepting this? What is it doing to me? You will always self-monitor. And one thing about, you know, mental illness, going into this orifice of things that we experience each and every day, where we get so overwhelmed with life itself, overwhelmed with career, overwhelmed with family, overwhelmed with everything. So then we then drown into these things mentally and emotionally, and it actually covers up the love that we once thought we had. Then we become dependent again on these things to make us feel some type of way. And if that thing is not there, if it runs away, if it's lost, if it rejects you, or whatever the case may be, then here comes fear of all things all over again.
Yeah.
So do you know the difference? And I hope, you know, this show said something to someone out there today that struggle with this thing called love. And you know, a lot of people say, I've never felt that before. I don't know what it feels like.
Yeah.
That's because you haven't given it to yourself first.
There you go.
You have to give it to you first. You give it to you first. You say, well, I don't know how. Well, the thing about it is, have you accepted who you are? Have you truly accepted who you are? Just you, not your family, not your friends, not your workplace, not how much money you have. Accept you for you.
Now,
that's where it starts. It starts there. You accept you for you. Then once you accept who you are, then the next thing to do is then look at how much love you have left over to give somebody else. We have 100% of love. We're only supposed to divvy out 50% to the world.
Now, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
What about that person who their whole life have been told they're nothing? Perhaps they've been raised by very unloving parents. Maybe they were even told they were a mistake. Maybe they were told they were ugly. Maybe they were told that they were unwanted. Maybe they felt unwanted. Maybe they'd been abandoned. Maybe they had parents who left them, if not physically, emotionally, never nurtured them, treated them as if they were a burden. Maybe they were always reminded, you know, you were an unplanned child. I didn't mean to have you. I couldn't get an abortion. Now I'm stuck with you. I mean, I've known people who've lived through lives like that with parents who were hateful, and they felt unlovable because that's how they were treated.
Okay.
How does a person heal their soul from that kind of damage? How do they feel? How do they discover that they are a creation of God and they were created out of love and they are loved? How do they discover that when at their very foundation, the belief they were given is that they were unwanted, they were a mistake, they are unloved? How do they overcome that?
Well, the first thing they have to do is ask themselves, what do they believe about themselves? It's not about what they heard or what someone says. Because as we're children, we might have went through that. But once we become older adults or adults, we have to make a choice. Either I'm going to continue to live the same that they think I am, or I'm going to live what I feel I need to be.
That's a choice. We got to take our last break, and we got a couple of callers. We'll bring you on right after the break. So we're going to go to 773-450 and then 312-671. And anybody else on our switchboard, we got something to say, press 1 now. Don't wait till 2 minutes before we get ready to leave. We won't have time to listen to what you have to say, so we want to give you time to speak. So press 1 now if you've got a thought you'd like to share or a question you'd like to ask for Dr. Debbie Green. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Well,
Welcome back. Welcome back to Soulful Solution. My name is Dr. Debbie Green with my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, our executive producer of the Female Solution. All right, let's take those callers, please.
All right, 773-45. Oh, your mic is open. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment for Dr. Debbie Green as we talk about love. Go right ahead.
Color degrees, Grand Rising, and
our brother, Grand Rising.
Of course. When y'all talk about the greatest gift, which is love, you know? I have a question, because the question goes like this. You know, a lot of times I hear you all always talking about, you know, people's childhood is what created this and that and the other. Do you know you do a lot of things your parents don't tell you to do all the time?
That's true.
So to begin with, you change yourself. That's what's wrong sort of with society. They give us this blueprint of traditional life and what we're supposed to have, and it's all screwed up. They tell you, if you watch television, oh, what sanctifies a relationship is sex. That's bull. You can't get nowhere laying on your back. How much money are you going to earn on your back? None. People who are whole people are not just into sex. They're into all the other things, like being interested. You know, that's something, just to bring this out, that's something that's interesting. I noticed as a man growing up. They don't teach you anything like this. It's like a woman, some sort of sex object, to watch her butt bouncing up and down the street. That is not what she is. Women are brilliant, and they have so much knowledge and a mental capacity that men ought to zoom into. As a matter of fact, when men respect women, they grow beyond even their wishes. They can actually sit around and talk with women about stuff that they thought was really petty. It wasn't so petty at all. But I'm fortunate. I've been the type of man I've always been involved. I used to go have friends that would have pajama parties for women, and they would keep me there to have the conversation. So that just shows you how open I've always been towards listening. So it's important, you know, you have to start your own paradigm. You can't live off of the mistakes other people give you. You forgive yourself, and then you say, let me do something different. My parents gave me the best they knew. It's time for me to do something better and change the next generation, because what they put on me was wrong. Now I don't need to do that. I got a better way. Why don't we do that?
That's a great question. And, you know,
lastly, it just amazes me how we interact with each other. Do you know people go around looking at you, looking for your faults instead of looking for the best in you? What is their problem? Mm-hmm. I can't fix none of your faults. The only thing I can do is try to appreciate who you are and plug in what I can do. But see, society teaches you, oh, look at them. They got a big nose. Oh, they smoke. They don't love themselves. What are you doing judging other people? Why don't you help them? Why don't you help them instead of judge them? That's what I do, because I know I'm connected to everybody. I'm not going to stand up there and drive by and tinted windows and act like people don't exist. I will get out of my car and walk over to that person and say, are you okay? Or you just say something positive, and you'd be surprised how many people can't even hardly accept a compliment. I walk down the street, I say, oh, you look beautiful. Woman standing almost in shock. I don't have my hair colored. It's all silver. Yeah, what's wrong with that? But see how society has you to believe if your hair is silver, you're too old and all this foolishness. No, you should have some wisdom.
Yeah.
And there's an intrinsic beauty that goes beyond that. Why are we on outer beauty? Because that's what television told us?
Interesting.
You better start telling yourself some stuff and more to rest of that.
Yes.
Why can't we direct ourselves? Why do we have to have other people set our boundaries?
The religion
that says you got to have Jesus, you got to get rid of your sins and all this stuff, that's what's wrong with church. You can't even walk up in there without them telling you, you can't come in here if you this way or that way. So how are you going to get deliverance if you're not allowed to come in?
You know, that's a major thing that has made so many people leave houses of worship is the harshness of judgment. And one thing which I found really enlightening with this book series, Conversations with God, there is no judgment. There is no condemnation. And we don't realize that we lower ourselves when we judge someone else when we look down on someone else. Well, the reason why people do that is because they don't love themselves. And if I don't love myself, then I feel like if I look down on you, I'm going to feel better about myself. Oh, well, at least I'm better than them. So that's where that behavior comes from. Anytime somebody puts down someone else, it's a reflection on the lack of love of themselves. Because if I love myself, then I don't need to find fault with you. I don't need to feel like I'm better than you. I don't need to do that. I don't need to do it. I only do that if I don't love myself and I'm looking for something that I can find in someone else that I can say, well, at least I'm better than them. At least I don't do that. And that's all that is, lack of self-love. But you're right, we are all responsible for the evolution of our own souls. Ultimately, we can't blame anybody. I don't care if you were raised by the worst parents in the world. I don't care if they were alcoholics, drug addicts, prostitutes, robbers, killers, thieves, whatever your parents were, that's the experience that you had. So perhaps they were a demonstration of what not to be, but you are still responsible for the evolution of your own soul. Even if you were raised in a strict religious community that condemned you and hated you and made you feel like nothing, okay, that's the experience that you had, but it's still your responsibility to discover the right teachings and connect yourself to the love of God. There are no victims. There are no victims on this earth. There are experiences that we had, but we are always responsible for how we respond to our experiences.
That's right.
All of us.
And I have one more thing, though.
One more thing, and then we'll take away
the call. The question is, who are you auditioning for? We're creatures. What are you doing running around chasing after somebody who can't even breathe on their own? We need to audition for the creator that made us. Go have a personal conversation and find out what our purpose is on this planet. Once we find out our purpose, then we're connected to everybody we can begin to live. But if we're sitting there auditioning for each other on that type of foolishness, I don't know any creature that you could ever satisfy 100%. They just keep moving the marker, moving the marker, moving the marker. So we should change and start focusing on the creator instead of creatures, and we would be in line with universal law. Otherwise, this is going to keep that same foolishness going on and on and on. Appreciate
Absolutely.
You, Diamond. Keep the program going. I'd rather listen to you than that network AMC stuff.
All right. Well, thank you so much,
thank
Brother
you for
Obadiah.
Sharing.
We appreciate you for sharing your insight. Before I take the next caller, you want to respond to some of his comments before I take the next caller?
Well, you know, we have a universal mind, and once we understand the universal mind comes with self-expression, not withoutry or against stipulations of what society says, then that's when we can truly have this, this freedom to love ourselves despite what we experience in life. Because, again, we are the ones that put the stipulations in place. The stipulation doesn't define us.
Absolutely.
We make the choice to allow it.
We make the choice to allow it. Absolutely. And let me go to the next caller, 312-671. Thank you so much for calling us. I believe we've got Minister Robert Floyd Plump on the line from Chicago, Grand Rising. Quick question, Minister Plump. Did you all go to that Selma event on Monday? I know there was a tornado there. I'm just kind of curious about that. I was looking in the news about that. Were you there? What happened? Just quickly.
No, we did not, because of the tornado. The trees was all over the street, going out of town and coming in town. You know, there was debris all over. So we was in contact with Reverend Michael Bourne, and he said that they had to cancel it because of the tornado. However, yes, you are talking to Brother Minister Robert Floyd Plump. And Brother Obadiah, you know you hit it on top of the head, so I ain't scared to tell you to give me a call. You know my number, because it is true. You all are fantastic. Weo and Yashalom, Hua, we don't die, we multiply. Black is beautiful and black power forever when you educate yourself. So I know Brother Obadiah have educated himself into a blessing. And we all have blessings, and blessings equals to seven levels, from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head. And you all are, Sister Naima and Dr. Debbie Green, y'all are on target with today, Thursday, collective work and responsibility, and blue skies, which is sound, and sound is unlimited, unstoppable. And you all put it all together with God love first, and then the second love is yourself, and that becomes a healing, you know, healing because you are communicating with the world's greatest source that is unconditional love, which is the key to your success. And I thank you all for discovering the most important person it is living, and that is 110. We are in it to win. I am happy. I am healthy. I am wealthy. And I am wise. And I am love equals to 21. And 21 is a means of what you said, Sister Naima, of communication. Communications between you and God. And then you discover the most important person it is living. And God is love. And God gives you the life, the liberty to be free and to make decisions, which is unconditional love is always, as you said, never to be lost. God is 14, ills is 4, and love is 21. And that is a better way to communicate with yourself and others. And for more information, be sure and get in touch with the Harold Washington Foundation.info or call me direct at 312-671-2773. Your brother and your soul and your servant.
We appreciate you so much, Minister Plum, and continue to share your wisdom. Absolutely. Yes, the universe is mathematics, and all things have a number, even the vibration that we emit. And, you know, just for those who understand it, that every thought, word, and deed makes up your own personal vibration, your own personal energy signature. And when you keep that vibration high with higher thoughts of love, higher thoughts of acceptance, higher thoughts of compassion, you create like a force field around you that is a barrier to disease, a barrier to anything that could perhaps be born in the air, because you are vibrating at a higher level than it is able to penetrate you. Things that could hurt you, such as viruses, do not penetrate you. When you hold that vibration as part of your being, and your thoughts create that. So there are people who don't get sick because they maintain that higher vibration of non-judgment of others, unconditional love of others, compassion for others. When you love others, you actually strengthen yourself. You strengthen your own immune system. So and when you live your purpose, of course, is to share love. That's why you're here. You're here to shine your light and keep your light, even when you walk in the darkness of others who are not understanding. And when we understand that people act the way they act because they don't know better, then we don't judge them. We want to be a spiritual master. A spiritual master is one who can live in a state of unconditional love. Mm-hmm. And understanding replaces forgiveness in the mind of a master. Because when you understand that people are only acting according to their understanding, then you realize there's nothing to forgive. They didn't injure you at all because they can't. They can only act according to their understanding. So you hold no grudges, you have no anger, you have no fear, and therefore you don't attract disease and illness because it can't penetrate your aura because you're at such a high vibration of love. So that is the answer to your own well-being, is to love others. That's how our Creator designed it.
Absolutely. It's my answer to everything, actually.
Love is the solution to everything.
And once you master that, you have mastered fear.
Absolutely.
That's it. That's the bottom line. Again, I think we struggle so much in ourselves as a humankind, as mankind continues to evolve, not realizing that we don't have to create a war in ourselves.
Right.
We don't have to create anything other than what has already been created for us. And if we just took just a moment to examine the deepest parts of our being, all the answers are there. The key to the universe is there. The key to everything that that a person desires on earth is inside of him.
Right.
It's not on the outside of him. The only thing on the outside is, again, we go into the regulations. We go into the discontentments of how people themselves get discontented when it comes to not being accepted or being accepted. Because at the end of the day, that's all it is. Either you are accepting yourself or you're not.
Yeah.
Either you're accepting what is coming to you or you're not. Because it's a struggle. We struggle in the true self and false self on a common denominator. It's a struggle. But one is going to overwin the other. And we don't understand to overstand this thing called life.
Right. We had a comment that came up. I didn't get a chance to read it. I'm sorry. We had a comment that came up. I didn't get a chance to read it. I guess I was talking.
We have this understanding that regardless of what we think or feel, you know, that we deserve certain things. And that's true. We do. We deserve. But at the same token, we still have to make the changes.
We thank our other sisters of the microphone, Zelda and Beata, for chiming in on Facebook. And Beata reminds us to tune in tomorrow. And, of course, join her for health and well-being and understand some ways to combat that flu. Again, keep that vibration high. You'll stay healthy. And, of course, she'll be talking about ending the flu and ending the war with the flu and other enemies. And then, of course, our dear sister Zelda says, Grand Rising, beautiful queen, teachers, what a way to start the day. Thanks so much for starting our day with the late James Brown would say, on the good foot. Yeah, get on the good foot. That's right. So, yes, that's
absolutely
what we want to do.
Start the day on the good foot. I just want people to you know, find this thing called love.
Yes.
Find it. It's not in another human being, y'all.
Absolutely.
Just pieces of it that's connected, but it's inside of you.
That's where it is. God speaks to everybody.
Guess what happens? You turn on the switch to get what you need. If it's a spouse that you like, I've never been exposed to, I've never had love with another human being, okay, you turn that switch on, and you literally attract what you need.
Yes.
What you love yourself.
Yes, you do attract to you. You attract to you what you are. If you
are
a loving being who's loving yourself, you will attract that. But if you are condemning yourself, then you're going to attract somebody who condemns you, somebody who makes you feel like you're not enough, you're not good enough, and you're going to always be feeling like you have to keep proving yourself, and the thought that you have to keep proving yourself is more confirmation that you're not good enough. So your relationship stays on that vicious cycle of discontent and fear that you're going to be rejected because you're not enough.
And
first,
you are enough.
You have to know you are enough.
You are enough. You are worthy. You are valuable. If no one else told you, I tell you, you are valuable and you are worthy. Don't pay attention to someone that says you're not. Do not believe the lie.
You
show yourself that you're strong enough. You take God's love and allow that to be something that leads your life, you know. And then if you don't know your higher power, get to know the Creator, because it is real. It is real. It's not poof. It's not about religion. It's not about any of that. It is the greatest energy that we could ever put ourselves into. Bathe in it, lie in it, eat of it, sleep of it. and you will see a big difference in your life. That lonely place that you may be experiencing, you know, that place where you don't feel accepted, you may feel pushed aside, nobody's noticing you. You know, you may feel invisible. You know what it feels like to be loved.
Yeah.
You know, if I could just tell you this, and this is a scripture in the Bible. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you.
Mm.
Not to harm you, but give you hope for your future.
Mm.
And I truly believe that scripture is giving us a promise. It's given us a promise that we don't always and should always trust ourselves in this role called life, you know?
Mm.
We have to know that we have our own thoughts, our own decisions, our own experiences, but there's a greater creativity that's around the corner, down the bend, you know, because we can't see into the future. The only power we have is in a moment.
Right now.
Right now. This is the only thing you can change. So if you are changing from not being a person that's loving, love. Examine love. If you never felt love, love yourself. If you never expressed love, express it openly, unconditionally.
Yes.
You know, but try it and do it. And what you will realize is that everything deep down inside you will come out, and you will feel very, very comfortable.
Yes.
If you're being comfortable, once you find out what it really is, it's warm, it's cuddly.
And it never
I'm
leaves
serious.
You.
It's warm and cuddly. It's like a wonderful, fuzzy warmth of blanket wrapped around you, and you feel so secure. You know, you don't have to worry about what is or what isn't, because you've let go of the world.
Yes. There's one other website, YouTube channel I would advise people, I would recommend, called Next Level Soul, and the Soul, S-O-U-L, Next Level Soul. I think that the stories that people tell, and a lot of the hosts he interviews, a lot of people who've had near-death experiences where they have crossed over and met God, and that's exactly how they describe it, like a warm blanket, just love, unconditional and undescribable, totally unconditional acceptance. And they are forever transformed by these experiences. And regardless of what you may believe, when someone comes back with a personal testimony of saying, I have met God and there is no judgment, there was total unconditional love. And all of my relatives who crossed over, who met me, who were joyous to see me, even though they told me, well, you know, it's not your time, you got to go back. But there was unconditional love. And whatever we experience here that makes us feel unlovable, all of that falls away. And we get to see and understand the decisions we made that could have been made better. We understand how we affected other people. Most of all, we do learn to love ourselves because we realize we are loved unconditionally by the Creator. So I'd say go to YouTube and find the YouTube channel Next Level Soul. Next Level Soul. Just look for it. Listen to the testimonials. And
wow,
learn it for yourself.
I'm going to do that this weekend.
It'll change your life.
Next Level Soul. Well, thank you, everyone, for participating in our wonderful topic. And as always, continue to join us every Thursday here at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for another Evoking Conversation with me.
Right.
And our wonderful host, Naima Latif, our executive producer of the Female Solution. Thank you, Facebook viewers, as well as our listeners on Blog Talk and YouTube. Subscribe to our channel. Subscribe to our channel so that we will be able to do more of this to help someone along the way, because I hope that this gave, you know, in empowerment to someone who did not love themselves and to know that there's always hope in it all.
Yes,
thank you so much again for joining us, and see you next time. Stay blessed.
Stay blessed. All right. This music, y'all gonna act right or what? Might be stalling here, but that's all right. We appreciate all of you, and we will see you tomorrow on the Female Solution. All righty then.
Come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.